isn't real.
And welcome back to Radio DMG. I am your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. And today, we are going to, we're going to have a couple interviews. Tyson Reinhardt and other people. So look forward to it. There's going to be about three interviews, still going through our NDK 2014 stuff. And just really quickly getting this episode out of the way so we can move on to other episodes and other guests and other things. Thank you. So, cue the music. And welcome back to Radio DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm over here at Non-DeskCon 2013 with
Tyson Reinhardt.
And just in case our listeners don't know, who are you and what do you do?
I am a voice actor and a script adapter for Funimation. I have been in Steins Gate as Daru, Eureka 7 Owl as Georg, High School DxD as Matsuda, and just recently Oimo in One Piece.
Most people who go into voice acting have done other stuff previously. What did you do before you got into voice acting?
I was a stage actor. I did a lot of Shakespeare. In fact, that's actually how I ended up working for Funimation. I did three different plays with three different voice actors from Funimation: Sonny Strait, Eric Vale, and finally Ian Sinclair. And after working with each one of them, I auditioned, and finally the third time was a charm, and I actually started getting work. So I did Midsummer Night's Dream with Ian Sinclair, where I was Nick Bottom and he was Peter Quince of the Rude Mechanicals, the more fun part of the play, in my opinion.
So, why did you get into acting there? I mean, like, when you were young, was that something that you wanted to do?
Yes, it was. When I was 11, I was in a play at my school, and we did The Emperor's New Clothes. I was one of the tailors who created the false suit that he then thinks he's wearing when he's actually naked. And I really enjoyed myself and started making more time in my schedule to do more and more plays and started to do less and less Little League. And eventually, once I got into high school, I pretty much, theater was the only extracurricular that I really pursued.
So it's always been a love of theater.
Yes. And, you know, just really performance in general. I'm also a not very good musician, and so I like to play poorly for other people. And usually they are very polite and, you know, clap at the appropriate times. But yeah, all in all, I just it's part of what really just clicks with who I am. It seems right. I've been very, very happy doing it, and very fortunate to get the chance to do as much as I have.
So, what instrument do you play poorly?
I play guitar poorly. I am a rhythm guitarist in a Ramones-style punk band. I also play harmonica pretty decently for a blues rock-influenced project as well. And I'm also a vocalist for both projects.
What are the names of those bands?
Bullet Machine is the name of the punk band.
I was wondering about that. Yeah, you're wearing a shirt that says Bullet Machine Grindhouse Punk. I was like, I wonder if that's his band.
That is my band, yes. We actually just got these shirts printed the other day.
Awesome.
And I was looking through my laundry when packing for the con, and nothing quite grabbed my attention quite like, you know, tooting my own horn. So I did that. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. Grindhouse Punk, we write a lot of songs about B-movies, functionally. Like, we're about to have an album release a week from today, actually. And the first track on the album is a song about Gamera, the giant kaiju turtle who is friend to all children. And, yeah, so if that gives you an indication of what our subject matter is, then...
So kind of a Go-Go Gamera or something like that.
Yeah. It's
anything based on Manos Hands of Fate or anything.
Oh, no, not yet. See, yes, you smell what I'm stepping in. You know the mystery science is strong in this one. There's one called Raiders of Atlantis, which is a like early 80s Italian sci-fi horror film, which is just terribly wonderful to watch. It really just blows your socks off. Very violent, very weird, very poorly acted. It's a delight, all in all.
Kind of like stuff like Catman or... have you seen Robo Vampire?
I have not seen Robo Vampire.
You need to see Robo Vampire. It's two films that were stitched together by this one guy, and one of them is about hopping Chinese vampires, and the other thing has a guy in a gorilla suit. And he just stuck these together, and it's that one. It's got a sequel called Devil's Dynamite, and you need to check those out. They're just so bad. It's like...
Yeah, that sounds absolutely... what I want to spend my
Chinese vampires
doing, yeah.
Hopping toward people slowly, then guy in gorilla suit, and then some type of weird ninja superhero things in there.
Yeah, that
it's
sounds
bad.
Brilliant. Have you heard of Turkish Star Wars?
Oh, I've seen clips of that. I haven't found something for myself so I can watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I while I was in college, I was living down in the Austin area in Texas. And they have a place called Alamo Draft House, which shows movies, serves food, and stuff.
Oh,
they're starting to expand across the country.
We have one here in Colorado.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Yeah, so I highly recommend the place. It's very good. Get some good drinks, good food, and watch some good or terribly good movies.
We saw Pacific Rim there.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. I saw End of the World there. And that was a lot of fun. But yeah, Turkish Star Wars is basically... people in Turkey in the late 70s, early 80s stole clips from Star Wars and interspliced them into their movie, which is very confusing. And the monsters that they fight kind of have a Sesame Street feel to them. It is an amalgamation of insanity that really has yet to be matched, in my opinion.
Sounds kind of like in the world of animation, the big bad one right now is Food Fight. Have you seen that yet?
No, I've not.
Oh, you need to see that. Just look it up. It's all these people. They put together it's based off, think like Toy Story, but in a grocery store.
Okay.
And they're all like really badly animated versions of like, oh, these are the California raisins, that's Sam the tuna, that type of thing. And it has really horribly awkward performances by Charlie Sheen. So.
Food Fight.
Yes.
I will have to check that
you
out.
You will have to
check
that out.
That sounds brilliant, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, going back to, like you mentioned, college days and all that, what was your major in college?
My major was theater.
Theater?
I went for a Bachelor of Fine Arts in acting, and it has really been worth every penny. And that's sarcasm, by the way.
Oh, yes.
I wanted to throw that
it's
out.
It's like, it's every penny. It taught you a lot of how it works in the real world.
You know, I did learn a lot. I absolutely did. The most important thing I learned is that I now have friends in all of the major acting hubs that I can sleep on the couches of. I also I had an art history class, which is where I feel I learned the most. Everything else, it was just stuff I was familiar with and got a little bit more enhanced knowledge of. But art history, I went in pretty blank and came out actually understanding how to appreciate technique and form and function of painting and sculpture, etc. Had a very, very good professor. So
it sounds like you've done a lot of stuff in Texas. Have you done any voice acting work in California or areas that are not right-to-work states?
A little bit, yeah. I haven't worked with any of the big dogs. I work with a group called PostHollywood.com. I do some writing for them, and I've done some voiceover work for them and some acting. In fact, I did about 5-minute sketch about the world's like worst voiceover artist, and he like does pretty much everything that you're really not supposed to do when you get in the booth. He's a real amateur and kind of
start eating the siding.
Yeah, and reading the parentheticals and the name of the character before saying it. Just kind of buffoonish. It was a little bit of fun. So.
Yeah. So what do you think of Nondescon so far?
I think it's awesome. I think, first off, Colorado is beautiful. Once the sun actually came out and I could appreciate more of it, it was even more beautiful. But yeah, the everyone that I've come in contact with, staff, attendees, the other guests, everyone's been really, really professional, very, very kind. And the cosplay here is awesome. That's one of my favorite things of cons, is to just kind of mill about in public and just see all the creativity and technique that people, you know, have put on display, you know, for their passion. And it's awesome here. Very, very cool.
So, do you do any type of charity work outside of, like, the Bullet Machine and all this other, and the conventions and the voice acting and stuff? Do you do any type of charity work?
Not too much. Most of my charity work is involved in the cons, just doing donations to the different charity auctions and stuff like that. And again, I'm really rather new to the industry, so I haven't put in as much time as I would like into that. Philanthropy is something that, when you have it available to give, is a great thing, but you should also not necessarily give more than you can really afford to. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. that's the boat I'm kind of floating around in at the moment.
It happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So, talking about charities just a little bit, there's a charity that they're supporting here at this year's Nondescon called Stomp Out Bullying. I don't know, kind of a violent name for a charity.
Yeah, yeah.
But Stomp Out Bullying. And I was kind of wondering, do you have any advice you could give to people who are victims of bullying, or how to handle with it, or how to deal with it?
I guess the best advice that I can give is to, when you are the brunt of these verbal and unfortunately sometimes physical attacks, obviously if it's something that like hospitalizes you, this isn't quite the case, but if someone's just being a jerk and saying rude things to you, and you see a lot of this at conventions too, where people mm-hmm. are like, oh, you're too fat to cosplay that character, and that really, really bugs me, because this is a place for us all to come and be accepted for the things that we all agree we love. And it's unfortunate when I see that, and it's awesome when people go against that. Like, I read a really interesting article on a African-American girl who was, I think she was cosplaying Princess Peach, and people just gave her so much grief for it, and she looked awesome. Her costume was brilliant, it was put together, wonderful, she looked beautiful in it, she was a princess. And people are just being catty and rude, and that's not necessary. Because you have that to deal with in your normal life. Where are you going to bring that to the convention? That's just not necessary. But, yeah.
Would you say that, like, when it comes to cosplay and people judging on that, have you seen any of that Heroes of Cosplay thing they have on Sci-Fi?
No, I've avoided that. Yeah. I've read enough updates from people who cosplay regularly that I respect, being like, this is not at all a good indication of what we're about. And I really, the entire reality television phenomenon, by and large, I feel is just a waste of everyone's time and energy. There's a few shows that are very cool. Like, there was a show called Comedians of Comedy. It had four really interesting comedians. It was like Zach Galifianakis before he was really famous, mm-hmm. Patton Oswalt, Brian Posehn, Maria Bamford. And they were touring around in a bus, just, you know, going around the country doing comedy shows. And so half the show was them in the bus interacting with each other, and half of it was them performing at the clubs. And that, to me, is what reality television should be, because you have professional entertainers in a real situation, and it's not possibly scripted, but not overly. Whereas stuff like Survivor, there's nothing real about any of that. And all that does is take jobs away from me and my friends and my coworkers.
And writers and
such.
Yeah,
writers, actors.
There's people writing stuff on the teleprompter for Big Brother, but
exactly.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not quite the writing that I'm really accustomed to.
Like, have you ever considered doing any type of comedy or anything like that?
I do improv comedy.
Ah, yes, yes. I just remember who it was. Yeah, one of the guests.
Yeah, there's a comedy troupe called Ad Libs in Dallas that I've been working with for the last few years. And Chris Rager, who is the voice of Hercule in DBZ, is one of the fellow actors in that. And that's actually how he and I got to know each other. We didn't really know each other through anime. We knew each other from working comedy clubs and stuff like that. And then we were at a convention a few months ago and put on a improv show for the attendees, and it went over really well. We had a lot of fun. Made it a PG-13 panel, so that some people could come, but, you know, still
certain
racy.
People shouldn't, that type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was late enough that that was applicable, so. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it's something I really enjoy doing.
How is the comedy scene, like the improv comedy and stand-up comedy scene in Texas? I know some particular scenes have some... There are some scenes, like, for example, Chicago has problems in their comedy scene. How's Texas?
Really, by and large, it's pretty good. It's very prolific in that there's a lot of different improv troupes and stand-up comedians and all that. Unfortunately, it's also kind of backbiting, like where the different groups kind of, instead of saying, oh, we're not going to be able to do a show next weekend, but I do know this other group who's really good that you could give a call. There's a lot less of that than I would like. Really, because, I mean, when it all comes down to it, we're all doing the same thing. I don't understand why we can't look out for each other to an extent. But, yeah, it's a little more tooth and nail than I'd really like it to be. But all in all, there is room for it, and there is a desire for it, and there are people who go out on a Friday or Saturday night who want to see comedy, and that's good for people who want to ply that as a trade. So
yeah. definitely something. They don't all, no, but not everybody has to be like Andy Kaufman mean to people.
Yes, yeah, it takes a very special person to be able to pull that off well. And really, I think Andy Kaufman is one of the only ones who I would really allow to do that.
So
granted, I can't give him too many critiques on it since he's not with us anymore.
Yeah. I would say with, like, the improv scene, there is some drama there, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those things where, going back to, like, the previous thing, you just sometimes you just have to ignore it and go on, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can't let it bog you down, because then you don't put on as good of a show. And that's the hardest thing about being a performer, especially in the acting and comedy vein, is that you can't bring your day with you, because if you've had a really crummy day and you bring that on stage with you, then the audience is going to have a crummy time, and they pay for that.
Yeah,
they paid to kind of forget about the horrible day that they possibly had. So it's that is a difficult thing, and it's sometimes something that you just can't do. I mean, obviously, if you have something like a death in the family, you should probably just not perform that day. That Daniel Day-Lewis is a very talented actor. He's, from my understanding, a method actor. I may be wrong about that. But I did hear that he was performing Hamlet, and his father died. And he performed Hamlet right after the passing of his father. And at one point, Hamlet's father dies in the play. He gets to that point where he's talking about it, and then he just broke down unconsolably crying on stage. And that's one of those times where it's like, it's okay to step away from it. Like, you have to step away from it. You can't bring it with you. Like, you've got to make those two separate things. One is your job, and one is your life. Mm-hmm. And when those two intersect too much, it can get really, really dangerous.
On a more positive note.
Yes, yes.
What?
Yes. Yeah.
This was kind of a weird one, because, like, I was talking about, like, you're talking about bringing work, life into work, et cetera, et cetera. I normally have a question about bringing the energy and the joy that we feel at conventions to your everyday life. So how can we spread that joy that we feel here to our everyday life?
I think the 501st Legion is a great example of that. They do a lot of charity work. They go and visit sick children in hospitals in full stormtrooper regalia, and that is just a really magical moment for children who are not getting a whole lot out of their day. When you're sitting in a bed with an IV and watching a television, someone coming in dressed as Ariel from The Little Mermaid and spending time with you and talking to you and enjoying the pictures that you've drawn with crayon, that means a lot. It's something that I think that every congoer can do, and something that I think if you have the time, you should do. There's so many ways you could serve your community. And that's one of my things. People ask me, how do you get involved in voice acting? And my best advice is, obviously, the same advice every voice actor is going to give is get involved in acting. Go do theater. But beyond that, just get involved, period. Because if you go and you volunteer at an art gallery to help, you know, take tickets or serve drinks or, you know, whatever it is that you find a spot to aid in, then you have no idea who is going to walk through the door to work with you or to view everything that you're helping to put on display. And, yeah, I mean, any day, Eric Vale, Chris Sabat, Bryce Papenbrook, Kiefer Sutherland, I mean, who knows who's going to walk in? I'm just pulling names out of a hat now. But, yeah, being involved could lead you to meeting cool people and getting to work with cool people and doing the things that you want to do. But you know what the worst thing that could happen is if you get involved in your community? You made your community a better place. So that's the worst that can happen if you go and volunteer. Mm. And so that's kind of something I want to address, is that volunteering is an awesome thing and that we should all do it. We were talking about charities earlier. I didn't really do any charity work for them, but one of my old cars broke down and it was beyond repair. And so I donated it to the World War II Museum in New Orleans, where they have, they still will bring World War II vets in like once a year and put on a big USO show with, you know, big band and, you know, girls with, you know, beautiful dresses and their hair all put up and lovely, you know, dancing with the old fellas and stuff. And that, you know, that's something I'm very passionate about. I'm very much for taking care of our veterans, because without them, we don't have the freedom and quality of life that we enjoy. Mm-hmm. So, all my Marines, Semper Fi.
So I guess that kind of covers our whole shout-outs thing. I was going to ask you if I had anything to shout out with.
Yeah, my grandfather was a Marine, so I appreciate all of our veterans, but I do have a special place in my heart for the Marine Corps.
Like, hoo-ha, right?
That is
the Army.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's messed up. I'm sorry.
No, the spirit is there, and that's what's important. So, yeah.
Thank you very much for the interview. This has been Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth with Radio DMG, and I've been here at NondeskCon 2013 with
Tyson Reinhardt. Thank you very much for having me.
And the ghost of
Bryce Papenbrook sitting here listening. Oh my God, you were here the whole time!
Oh my God. What a twist!
Shyamalan, plan it out.
Oh man. Well, and good night. Welcome back to Radio DMG. I am your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. I'm over here at NondeskCon 2013 with
Cadwards.
Woo!
Woo! I'm the like half mile high mouth. More like,
of course, yeah.
Probably the flat ground in Texas.
Yeah. Well, just in case our listeners don't know, who are you and what do you do?
I'm a professional voice actor. I started my career almost 20 years ago. Probably the thing I'm most well known for is a teeny tiny little show called Dragon Ball Z, in which I voiced Goten and Videl. Other shows that I voiced as far as anime, Salty Ray, part of Yu Yu Hakusho, Heaven's Lost Property, I voiced Nymph, the new Mass Effect Paragon Lost, I'm Christine, Black Butler, Dance in the Vampire Bun, Sekirei. There's a list on Google.
A list of things. Otherwise, on IMDb and all that.
Seriously, if it weren't for the internet, I wouldn't even know what I do for a living. Because if people are like, you're on, I'm like, no, I'm not. Yes, I am. Yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah, those are a few shows. I've had a career as a voice actor voicing a lot of things. I do a lot of commercials, so you hear me a lot on radio and TV. I've also done some video games and some narrative. You hear me a lot.
Mm-hmm. And actually going to like all those things that you do, didn't you also at one point work in journalism?
I did. I worked in radio. I did a morning show. I started my career at Radio Disney. I co-hosted a show with Kyle Hebert, and it was called The Squeege and Kara Show. And I was Kara. And we did that for 6 years, and then I really wanted to pursue morning radio, so I moved up to the Carolinas, and I did a morning show in the Carolinas for about 5 years, and then just decided I was tired of radio and really loved voiceover, and so I was really fortunate to have a really long career in radio. And I have always been fascinated with journalism, and I produced a morning show for a while, and my job was to do all the research and, you know, keep everybody on track. So I do. I love it.
So did you go to college for journalism?
Funny story. I had this dream my whole life. I wanted to go to SMU because I just had always heard it was such a great school. And I lived most of my life in Dallas. So I got a scholarship to SMU the same week I got a full-time job in radio. And they made me choose. There was no way to do both because of the extensive schedule I was going to have. And I was going to school for journalism. And it made sense to me. I was like, okay, if I'm going to school so I can have this job, I'm going to just do the job. So at the time I had, you know, Dr. Demento was trying to steal my job from me. So I really took it serious. Like, you know, this is an opportunity I'm never going to get again. And I can always go to school. So I jumped into radio full time. Gave it everything, and I've never gone back to school. I've taken lots of classes because I want to, but I've never pursued a degree because my career just keeps happening, and I'm happy.
It's kind of like, why go into student debt?
My thought, yeah. And it's, you know, turning down a scholarship, you know how hard it is to get a scholarship to SMU, and I turned it down, which everybody thought I was psycho when I did, but honestly, it was the best decision I could have made at the time. Everybody else, though, go to school, it's important.
Although you did beat Dr. Demento eventually, right?
Well, I did, yeah, I kept my job. Dr. Demento never got it, but he's Dr. Demento, so it doesn't matter. So,
yeah.
I think he's fine.
Yeah, I'm probably doing okay.
Yeah.
So you've also done work with the Lions Group? What is that group? I was looking through your resume, and I realized that apparently you're a singing voice for something.
Somebody claimed me on IMDb as the singing voice of a character that I'm actually not.
Oh,
the singing
okay.
voice for. And I've noticed other people have gotten credit for things I've done, so there is some discrepancies that happen in the. Believe it or not everything's true on the internet. So there are some discrepancies that happen. I do sing, but I don't do a lot of singing like some of the other actors do. It hasn't followed me into my career the way it has some people. Some people have made their whole lives of it, and for me, it's just something I enjoy doing outside of work.
You probably don't want to claim credit for being the fourth additional dinosaur on Barney.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what it was, isn't it? They were like, they said I'm a singing voice on Barney, and I'm like,
like, that's kind of odd.
No, I have friends. I have a lot of friends that were on that show. A lot of friends, but no, not me.
So, pretty much, IMDb is the Wikipedia of the entertainment world.
Yes, it is.
Except less accurate.
It's pretty accurate, but I did see that one recently, and I was like, ooh, sorry to whoever lost that credit.
Yeah, you can probably get those removed, too.
Probably. I honestly don't know how it works. I've never done anything on my Wikipedia, or I don't even know how they work. So, thank you to everybody who gets it mostly right. Because I don't even know how to do it.
So, what do you think of Non-Descon so far?
This is my second year at Non-Descon. The first year I was here was probably about 7 years ago. I had one of those weekends, and we all go through it, where you have so much going on in your life that it takes precedence over the convention, and I wasn't able to really enjoy the convention that year. This year I'm coming in, like, literally taking vacation when this is over. This has been such a great convention. This has been such a great experience. This, the actors talk, and we know which conventions are the good ones, and Non-Descon is always at the top of the list because the staff is incredible. The fans are insanely awesome. They show up to panels, they participate, they care. It's so well run, and it's such a joy to get to come here. Like, this is one people try to get to. So to just get a call out of the blue and say, do you want to go, is like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed that the fans do seem to be pretty organized, that the show is pretty organized, especially with what happened just recently.
Oh, the fire alarm?
Yes.
That was hilarious. Okay, I'm sorry for the people that it wasn't funny for, but it was hilarious for me. No, my favorite panel was the one that I've only gotten to do this panel one other time, and it was in Australia. And for some reason, in the U.S., I just don't get to do this panel, and it's my favorite, and it's how to develop character voices. And we really explore, like, different techniques and different ways to change the way you approach a character, and I bring people up and they do voices, and it is so much fun, and the energy is always this awesome thing. And so I finally got to do this panel. It could not have gone better. Everything was so great, and literally as I was like, thank you everybody for coming, this has been awesome, it was like burr, burr, and I was like, oh, it was like the coolest ending to a panel ever. Like everybody like got up and left. Like, it was so great. It was like, and everybody, I'm like yelling in the mic, stay safe, Denver. Like, it was great.
Oh, yeah. It's one way to end it.
I'm like, sure the staff totally disagrees with my sentiments, but it could not have been cooler.
I was pretty surprised at how well everyone behaved outside.
It's
just a testament to this.
And
to Denver.
Even down to, I have to tell you, somebody that was so sweet, is somebody came in and oversaw me standing there and said, do you not have anybody from, because I mean it was chaos, and honestly it's my own fault because I kind of went out weird, and so I let everybody lose me. And so and this very sweet person Kai came over and said, you don't have anybody with you, and I'm like, we're fine, and she was like, I got your back. And she actually said, like, took on guest services role and was like, you know, excuse me, we need to get through here. Like, it was so great. I think she's actually hired now because she couldn't have been cooler. So, the fans were great. Everybody handles everything well. I'm going to be honest. I have had a fire alarm at every convention I've been to. So I typically ignore them. And the staff was very good to make me go outside because I typically won't. Because they always happen in the middle of the night and I have a fear of being on YouTube in my pajamas. So I would rather burn. To be honest.
Well, this would be a very short...
I've got a career to maintain, people. Yeah.
This would be a very short interview if you burned to death.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
It's like, hello, ashes of Carr Edwards.
I mean, like, that'd be a great little bit somewhere.
Yeah, so...
Flash in the pan. So, yeah.
So, yeah, going back to the energy and the creativity, et cetera, et cetera. Are there any charities or anything you currently support, aside from, like...
I do. I'm part of a group that I'm really, really proud of. It's called the Primetime Voices for Children. I have no idea how I'm a part of this group because it is literally like the top 30 voice actors in the country. They're the voices of all the networks. They're the voices of everything you hear every single day on TV. I somehow slid in under the radar and got invited to join them. We have a thing that we recorded several years ago. It was Twas the Night Before Christmas. The voice of Porky Pig is one of the guys. Like, I mean, it's crazy the lineup of people. And we recorded Twas the Night Before Christmas, and it's an ensemble. It's actually being considered for an Emmy right now, which is kind of a big deal. And we ended up doing an entire CD. It's all for charity, and we raise money for the children's hospitals in LA. And I go out once a year, and we actually go to the hospitals, and we read to all the children and tell them stories and talk to them. And I work with, you know, I do charities with the SAG Foundation and what have you, and so it's amazing the stuff that they're doing. And even down to, there's a lab in LA called the Don LaFontaine Lab. Don LaFontaine being one of the most famous voice actors of all time. He did all of the movie trailers. He passed away 5 years ago. They developed a studio in LA called the Don LaFontaine Lab. And so this voiceover lab is a way for people to go and learn voiceover, to use a studio on the cheap, to, if you're a part of the union. So I do a lot to support that. I actually just was in a poker tournament to help support the lab. So.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, there's a charity that they're supporting here at Non-Descon, called Stomp Out Bullying.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah,
that's
another
awesome.
Children or adult related charity.
I was going to say, no, I think that this is so important. I actually went through something in my life that I've never spoken about publicly, but I had to change schools when I was in, I believe it was ninth grade. And they put me in the school, and I was getting beat up on a daily basis. I was having fireworks thrown at me in the hallways. They actually removed me from the school for my own safety. This was so long ago, nobody talked about bullying. It was just considered part of
They're just like, oh, just toughen
kids.
Up.
Yeah. And... And had I not had a great mom and a great support system at home, I see how these horrible things happen to children, and they get literally left behind. It's ignored. It's not talked about. And it is tough enough, but I had to actually change schools because they thought these children were going to kill me, and they were going to. And so it's such an important thing, and I love that we're in a day and age where people talk about it, and it's like a real thing that people are aware of and support and want people, you know. It's like, dude, we're all going to grow up and be something. You know, we're all going to, like, it's such a hard time, and everybody's trying to figure out who they are and what they are, and some of us are more awkward than others, and I was incredibly awkward. And you're going to grow up, and you're going to do something with your life that matters and is great. And if everybody can just stop and understand that about each other, you know, and it just, it's about raising awareness. And that's, I think it's great. I love that you guys are doing that, because this is a great environment to do that in, so... Yeah.
I have a quick question about your arm.
It's in a brace.
It's in a brace.
Yeah,
what happened?
It's so stupid. I was, I did martial arts for a significant portion of my life, and it was an old injury from breaking boards and hitting people. So, and every once in a while, it acts up, and I have a tumor that sits on a joint, and it, every once in a while, because Denver's so beautiful, I love photography, and I went out and took a whole bunch of pictures yesterday, and my camera's very heavy. And so I'd been holding it for so long that I woke up this morning and was like, and we're going to go back into a brace. So occasionally you see me with a brace on my left arm, and it's nonsensical and it's fine.
Can we ask real quick what type of camera it is?
I have a Nikon D7000, and I was using a 17-55 2.8 Nikkor lens, going back and forth between that and the 35mm 1.8 prime. I love camera gear like you wouldn't believe. Yesterday I was having so much fun in Denver taking pictures that I went to REI and bought the new GoPro Hero 3 Black Edition.
Ooh.
And they were on clearance.
Nice.
And bought some fun toys to go with that. And I literally just got it set up this morning. And so I'm like dying to go like run through the hallways with it and take video. And I have all these ideas of stuff I want to do, but I have a studio at home. I love microphones. I love cameras. I love buttons. I love things. I'm like the biggest nerd on earth. So if there's a really cool gadget, like some girls are like, I want shoes. I'm like, I want flip-flops and, you know, and a Neumann TLM 103. So that's where my head is at all times.
So, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I'm a camera. God, I could talk about cameras forever. I love them.
Have you met Michael Center Nicholas, right?
I know Center Nicholas.
Oh, yes. He's a bit of a camera,
very well, and
camera person, too.
He and I have a long, like, that's every time we get together, that's all we do is we talk about cameras. And he takes anything that I have that's geeky, and he takes it to a level that is so psychotic that it's like he's so brilliant in the area that he loses me, and I find myself sitting there going, I don't even know what you're saying anymore, but I think it's awesome, but I think it's like, what? Like, he just doesn't even make sense after a while to me, but he's great.
Now, going back to like the energy and stuff from the conventions and things, we know something here at Nondescon and other conventions that I've been to, people will be extremely out and about, open, talking, like very vibrant, very energetic during the convention.
Yes.
But when they get back to their daily lives and stuff, mm-hmm. they tend to clam that up and start blowing back into a shell. Do you have any advice for people to take that con energy and put it to their daily lives?
Okay, you have to keep in mind you're talking to somebody who literally spends her entire life in a soundproof room by herself. and I mean that. Like, my studio is about 50 steps from my bedroom, and it's a professional studio. And so I am in there all the time by myself. I live a very quiet life, and then I get out and I'm like, boom, this is fun. And I'm like, oh my gosh, people care about what I'm doing all day by myself, and that's weird and cool. And so you know, the best thing you can do, and I tell this to everybody, is like, find your bliss, find your happiness, find, it doesn't matter what it is, you don't have to be a type A personality. You can come here and let it all out, and then you can go home and be quiet, and that's okay. Like, you can, but find those things that make you really happy, that you feel fulfilled at the end of the day, that it matters, you know. And whether it only matters to you or it matters to the world, who cares? You know, it's just that you have to find that thing. And so I feel bad when people come here and they feel like they're so a part of everything and they're so cool, and then they feel like they're not cool when they go home. And it's like, man, that sucks. Like, you are cool. If you're cool there, you're cool everywhere. You just have to find that space inside of you that's like, okay with being yourself. Like, you know what? I live in Dallas, Texas, and let me tell you, that's like fashionista capital of the world. You're never going to find me in an expensive pair of shoes. You're never going to find me wearing anything designer. That's not my thing. You know, but you're going to find me with a really dang cool camera. You know, so it's like, you got to just kind of find who you are and embrace it and love it and not really care what everybody else thinks at the end of the day.
Oh, before we end the interview, yes. Anything you want to promote or pimp or whatever?
You know, we live in a world of like, I'm doing the coolest stuff ever. I'll tell you about it in a year. So there's nothing really that I can promote. There's a lot of stuff out right now that I'm incredibly proud of. Obviously, Heaven's Lost Property. I'm so proud of the Mass Effect movie, even though I'm a minor character. They cast me as a mom, and that never happens. Really proud of that. That's out right now. There's, you know, you hear me a lot on radio and TV. You hear me on the Barbie commercials. You hear me on a Coca-Cola commercial and T-Mobile, and that's just some of the stuff running right now. You know, just I thank you to the anime fans. Thank you to people who buy anime, because that's how we get to keep doing this. And anime is my fun stuff. Anime is my, everything else is like the job. Anime is where I get to go in and kind of be like fun and not really get paid for it. It's like the fun stuff. And so thank you to everybody who lets us keep playing in that world. And thank you for letting us come into these conventions and share our love. Like, that was sitting in that panel today talking about voiceover, like, I love my job. Like, people love, I don't know what they love. I love my job a whole lot. And so it's so great to be able to be in an environment where I get to share that and maybe teach somebody something along the way, or if I don't, whatever, we had fun. Mm-hmm. And so just thank you. Thank you to NondesaCon for letting me come here. Thanks for the fans for being so cool. And thanks for, like, you know, go America.
Yeah. And thank you for this interview. This has been Philip Wesley from the Mile High Mouth from Radio DMG. And I've been here at NondesaCon 2013 with
Cat Edwards.
Woo! Woo! And good night. Radio DMG. My name is Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. I'm over here at NondesaCon with
Jessica from J-Rock Revolution.
And today we're going to be gang interviewing
Lotus Juice, Soap Glass.
Mm-hmm. So our listeners might not be familiar with who you are and what you do. So really quickly, Mr. Lotus Juice, who are you and what do you do?
I'm a rap artist living in Japan. Making music, a lot of music with anime and game music, such as Persona 3, Katana Gatari, Soul Eater, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Battle Tennessee, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So since you played at the BokuCon recently for Persona Festival, what was the experience like for the variety of fans?
Yeah, it was intense, very intense. 7,000 people. It was broadcasted 20 different places in Japan, movie theaters in Japan, and on the internet too. And what was amazing about the show was that, like, it went on for like almost 3 hours, but everybody was on their feet, just jumping around, having a good time. And the band was amazing. Yumi, Shihoko, wow, they're just amazing singers. And I think I did a decent job, too.
I think
you
did fantastic.
Yeah. Did you see?
Yeah, I streamed some of it online.
Oh, yeah?
Too.
Great.
Research, what can I say?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I had a good time. Yeah, great time.
So, lots of energy. Speaking of energy on that, last night you had a pretty energetic performance and such. Your voice is doing okay today, right?
Yeah.
Doing okay? Yeah. This is your first time in Colorado, and isn't this your first convention you've done
in the
U.S.?
It's my first con, yeah.
So what do you think so far of the convention and Denver?
Couldn't get any better than this, I think. Well, because I didn't know what to expect from a con. People would explain it to me, but, you know, it's a little different from what you expect. So, but everything was just like top of my head. It was so great, and people are so nice. My luggage got stuck at the airport. That's the only thing. but the staff actually picked us up, brought us here, and he had to go back again to pick up my luggage and brought it back to me in time. So theirs is great. None of this kind of staff. I want to thank them. The show was great. It's been so fantastic so far. Yeah.
So did you draw any new like inspiration from this, from just being at the con alone?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I'm always like ready to write new stuff, like create new stuff. I'm kind of wishing that I have my equipment right now so I can make beats on my free time. But you know, just trying to enjoy the atmosphere and, you know, absorb it, take it back to Japan and make some beats and, you know, write something to it maybe. So, yeah, definitely inspired.
Yeah.
Talking about the inspiration and the creative process, how much of the of your creative process do you draw from either yourself or from your surroundings? Is it like a, what percentage of your creative process involves internalizing the external?
I don't know. Maybe it really depends on, I think it depends on the concept. Actually, when I get these offers from animes and games, what happens is that they send you the material for the project and explain it to what the music is for, which part of the scene would they use it for, and most of the time it's battle scenes. And I'm not a really aggressive person, and as you can see, I'm not like a gangster rapper. So, but it's usually like battling against myself, like the weak part of myself, and some of like, I don't know, like haters out there. But yeah, like so it really depends on the concept.
So on video games and anime, is there like a particular ones you like to play the like compose music for the most? Or?
Well, no, not really. I've never been a like a huge gamer before. But when I started getting involved in it, you know, I had to play it. But now it's like, now it's not like I have to play it. I want to play it. It's so much fun nowadays.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Back in the days, like, I couldn't really get into it. But Persona 3, Persona 4G, I just played Shin Megami Tensei 4. Yeah, that's a great
oh,
name.
It's hard
in the beginning. Yeah, it's so hard in the beginning. Yeah. But once you get over with that, it's so much fun. Just bought Dragon's Crown from Atlas. Yeah.
My friend wants that game so bad. He's in Japan right now. He's all like, I need this game now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, please don't. We're still in school. When you finish. Like,
I was going to play it on the plane, but it slipped through. Yeah, so nothing like in particular. Yeah. Like, I'm very fortunate that every time they ask me to do something like on animes or games, there weren't one game or anime that I didn't want to participate in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, sometimes they were low in budgets. It didn't really matter. It's like, it's good music. It's I'm inspired by it. So, it's a lot of fun doing it. Yeah.
So, do you plan on, like, branching out anywhere? Sorry. Do you plan on, like, branching out into, like, any other field
other than anime games?
Yeah.
I'm always open. I'm always willing to work with new artists, like, even, like, from, I want to work with Raj.
Mm-hmm.
We actually did it in San Francisco 2 days ago. We went to his house, and Sebastian, his assistant producer, he made a beat. We got into the studio, I started writing. I wrote 16 bars and started recording it, and it's always fun. It's always fun to work with new artists because they pull something out of you, and that's something that you can't pull out on your own. So, yeah, I'm always looking out for new things. Yeah. I'm trying to be a track maker, but still need to work on it. Yeah.
Speaking about that, pulling that out, that energy that you get from the music and stuff. Have you ever have you done anything charitable, like with any charities, or have you made any music for charities or done any work with that type of group, like to pull out that energy and to also put it out in a way that's even different from video games and anime?
I'm like kind of ashamed that I haven't. I really want to. If I have any offers, I'm always open to do so. There was a big earthquake in 2011, March 11th in Japan, and people were devastated. Probably seen the footages, and I was too. And I wanted to do something, but it's not. Music industry is going downhill nowadays, and it's not really easy to make money just on music. And we were planning, my friend and I, we were planning to make a charity event. My brother works for Warner Brothers Japan, and a friend of mine who works there wanted to help me out with it. And we're trying. We're still like talking out, because we're pretty busy too, but we definitely want to do it. Yeah.
Speaking of charity events, actually a couple of musicians that we were looking into, they were doing this thing called Stand Up Japan, or they would participate in, what they do is like they promote like t-shirts or create like a track, and you buy that track and the donation goes to the group.
I would love to be a part of it, yeah.
So that's something to look into, But
definitely.
So I got a question here from a fan, and it says...
Okay.
What do you have, like a favorite song overall, or a favorite song to perform when you're...
Right now, it's Overdrive from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Oh, yeah. I love that song too.
Yeah. but my favorite songs always change, like in like different seasons. I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. During winter, I want to hear like something particular. I like Kimi no Kyoku from Yumi Kawamura. Track made by Meguro Shoji, and I didn't participate in it, but I always want to hear that. It's like one of my favorite tracks on a list, and so yeah, right now it's Overdrive, but maybe like next week I might change it around, I don't know.
Variety's
yeah.
The best part, right?
Now, going back a little bit to the charity stuff. Actually, had a there's a charity here that they're promoting at Non-Descon called Stop Out Bullying.
Yeah.
Is there any like advice you could give people that, because like as a musician and as a role model for many people, it's important to people like advice from that.
Yeah.
Since bullying is a problem here in the United States and in other countries as well, any advice you could give to people who would be, say, the victim of that, or how to deal with it?
I think the way I feel about, well, I grew up in New Jersey. I moved to New Jersey when I was 8, and I went back for college to Japan when I was 18. I couldn't really fit in to Japan, even though I was Japanese, because I was so Americanized in New Jersey. And but found the right person. It's like I just began going out, having a good time with like different people, and I think that's kind of hard for like middle school, high school kids. But it's just people are out there for you, definitely, I think, and it's just meeting the right people, and it's kind of hard in high school, middle school, because you know you don't have money, you don't have permission to go out. But if you do, when you're like over 21 or 18 or something like that, I think you discover the right person and end your life.
Find friends.
Yeah. Because sometimes like high school is just confined that. Yeah, it's too confined, right? Yeah. So it's a small world, and
just collect that right energy. Surround yourself with the positive people.
Yeah.
Right energy.
Yeah. I had, somehow, I get a lot of that. A lot of people ask me, so I'm like a consultant sometimes. and they ask me, like, yeah, this and that happened in high school, and I'm all alone, and I'm trying to inspire him, her. Every time, what I try to tell them is that there's a low side, but it's like, when you hit rock bottom, there's only like up. Yeah. Just when you think it's the rock bottom, you might go down, but it's always up. Like when you hit the bottom, so yeah, stuff like that. Yeah.
So I'm assuming that because you were in Jersey at one point in time, then you moved back to Japan. I'm assuming you want to travel in other places too. Like, is there any particular place you really want to go to one day?
Or? I love Tokyo. There's always something to do, but coming out here, staying in San Francisco, I definitely want to check out more about California. Maybe I've never been to London, Paris. I hear France is pretty big with anime conventions,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, I definitely want to check those out. And the Caribbeans, Hawaii.
Don't blame you there.
Yeah, just lay back.
Well, thank you very much for the interview.
No, thank you. Thank you. I hope I did a good job.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, this has been Philip Wesley, The Mile High Mouth, with Radio DMG and
Jessica from J-Rock Revolution.
And we've been interviewing
Lotus Juice. Thank you very much.
At NondeskCon 2013. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night.
And welcome back to Radio DMG. That was all of our show for today. So I hope you enjoyed the interviews and other stuff. And I look forward to seeing you next week. This is Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, signing out. You are now caught up.
Let's just test our levels real quick. I'm just saying some stuff here. Say something.
I can say several somethings.
Several somethings. Yes. Okay.